Hey folks, as we make our way towards episode 9 of the Pan Political series, I'd love to give you an update about a few things to do with this podcast and talk about a couple of things that you might want to get involved with. Specifically, I'll be talking about 5 topics. So number 1 is where this podcast is going, and in particular the Pan Political series within it. Topic 2 will be about an online live show recording of an extra episode I'm going to be doing, calling that episode 10 out of 9. That's going to be, by the way, July the 5th in Australia, July the 4th in the United States. Topic 3 will be about financial support and Patreon in particular. Topic 4 will be about an upcoming course I will be running, which is called Sexuality, Taboos and Kink for Therapists. And briefly on topic 5, why I stopped running Curious Creatures Old Workshops. And spoiler there's not much I can say. Okay, so topic number 1 is about this podcast and Pan Political in particular. So I guess the content of Pan Political, you know, with a few edits and changes and thinking over time, it's just kind of been there and it's made sense to me for decades. And I've just been sort of observing and checking out ideas and running ideas past people and evolving the material. And I don't know if you've ever played much in the gender equality landscape, but the conversation doesn't always go easily or well, particularly if you are pursuing something outside of the sort of the standard line for your bubble, you know, the way that the people around you tend to look at the topic. Anytime you explore something outside of that, can be a little bit tricky. And indeed, much of my experience of talking about this stuff, like sometimes profoundly interesting and amazing, and sometimes difficult. So yeah, when I put this series together, I didn't know how it would land. And you can hear that in sort of the approach I've taken, and you can almost hear my nervousness. Even if you just track the ads, like my requests to share the podcast, to begin with, it's almost apologetic, and then it gets more neutral, and then finally I get confident and proud because those ads I've been adding in over the course of the editing process, once I've had visibility over how things gone, whereas the entire cluster of the material itself was all recorded once, you know, by itself about 9 months ago. So anyway, I didn't know how it would land, but I do now. And by and large, it has landed very well, both qualitatively, in that I've been having a lot of conversations with people that have been having a lot of conversations, and the feedback I'm consistently getting is eye-opening, expansive, encouraging, lots of interesting conversations between people within couples. Yeah, getting a lot of good quality feedback. And also quantitatively, look, I've never really taken the podcast side of things too seriously. It's always been a hobby, as is still is the case. So I don't have fabulous statistics in the background, but I do have crude overall statistics, and I can see that there's been a very, very measurable increase in the number of listeners to this show. I've sort of had more listens in the last couple of months than I have for about the previous 8 years or something like that. It's not quite that simple or quite that true, but suffice to say that a lot of people are enjoying this content. With that said, I acknowledge that another role has to exist in the field, which would be people that are not loving on the content or have switched off. And yeah, I acknowledge that role. And also I've had some feedback around some technical challenges, like, you know, not everyone loves the robot voices, myself included, and some audio quality issues and so forth. But by and large, it's got a very warm reception, even from folks that I might not have expected that from. And I think for me, what has changed between this topic sometimes being difficult material, but having a very straightforward and warm reception here, is frankly the format. So I've sort of finally gone over my edge to leaning into this content and done it in a really long form format. Like, I don't know, there's about 15 hours of content in Pan Political. And I think it had to be this long. Reason being, shorter formats, so like most social media, and in particular X, and even just like quick passing conversations that one might have with people, conversations like that only really work for the mainstream perspective. They're only really good if you're sort of summarizing or reinforcing what people already know. In contrast, new or adventurous ideas often just sound silly. And in some ways, that has been my experience historically. So it's been very relieving and rewarding for me to lean into this material so fully and to have it be received so well. So in terms of where to from here, at least for the moment, I'm continuing to lean in. I think there will be some more related content on this feed, and I've got at least one show I want to tell you about in a moment that you're invited to. I've got a bit of a question around how well this material sits alongside the otherwise fairly explicit and taboo content in the feed. Some would say that it fits in perfectly. Some would say that that's actually quite an accessibility issue. And I've heard from quite a few people who are telling me that this is engaging, compelling, interesting content that they want to share, but are not free to do so because it's in a feed with so much sexual content. And that's a very good point. I guess my mission on this whole thing was to put it out there and see how it goes and, yeah, make my decisions from there. Perhaps there'll be a different format of it coming up that's a little neater and cleaner in the future. We'll see. Still on the topic of where to from here, I'm having some very interesting collaboration conversations with a variety of people about where things might go. And I think it's time I got things a little more financially sustainably set up. So I'll talk to you in a moment about how you might want to contribute via Patreon. Yes, I do also have a live show, which we're going to talk about in just 1 second. And yeah, after that, we'll see what we will see. There is no plan, as with pretty much everything to do with this podcast, and in fact, everything to do with Curious Creatures. It's always been a case of what feels good to do next, and then doing that, and trusting that in the fullness of time, a plan will emerge. And that is very much the case with this podcast. Okay, so topic number 2 for today is about an upcoming live show. I will be recording an extra episode to the Pan Political series, so let's call that episode 10 out of 9, if you will. And that'll be online via Zoom in Australia. That'll be the morning of Saturday, the 5th of July. And in the United States, that'll be the evening of Friday, the 4th of July. And I've done it that way because most of the listeners to this show are split between Australia and the United States. And in that live show, I want to record a few follow-up thoughts. I'd love for you to be able to meet the co-hosts, although I'm still confirming availability. I would love to meet you. I will create a space for some discussion and debrief between you and other participants, and also lots of Q&A, so lots of answers to your questions. So the event is going to be sort of part content from me, partly large group discussion, partly small group discussion, and some bits of inner work. So it's going to be sort of somewhere between a workshop and a presentation. And yeah, you'll get to meet other listeners of the show, and you'll also get to meet me. Oh, also, yeah, a big motivation for me is that I get to meet you. It's, you know, as you might have noticed, a podcast tends to be a bit of a one-way kind of a format, and yeah, I'm really interested in who you are and where your thoughts are at. And by the way, if you do want to come along to that live event and participate, but don't want to be recorded and or don't want to be put out on the recording that I will presumably release from that, that's fine. You can indicate that that's the case. So yeah, I'm going to very much do limited numbers for this event. I want a smallish group. Like I say, I want to meet you and get to know a little more about you. And that's easier the smaller the group is. So I've definitely got a hard limit on numbers. So if you are interested in this event, you might want to get in sooner rather than later. Tickets are pretty cheap, I think, from about Australian $15 to $35. So that's even cheaper than that in United States dollars. And also tickets are both cheaper and available first to Patreon members. More about that in just a second. So yeah, we'll see how that goes and take things from there. Okay, the third topic for today is about Patreon. So Patreon is a service, if you're not already familiar with it, set up to provide sort of potentially community and a financial interface between content creators and listeners. So the basic model is that you subscribe much like you would to a streaming service, and you can just sort of use that, subscribe for a short period of time if you're not wanting an ongoing thing. It seems to me to be a very reliable and solid platform that's been around for, you know, well over 10 years. Seems like a low scam risk. And it's also a high return to the artist, in this case me, so there's not a whole lot of fees lost along the way. How it relates to what I'm doing here is, I mean, I guess if I look at this from my perspective as a listener, I often, although I've been listening to podcasts for a long time, I haven't generally considered myself sort of moneyed up enough or that that was a model that really worked for me. And that's fine, by the way, if that's you. But I noticed with myself at the same time, I buy books, I buy information and articles, and I certainly buy therapy and workshops. And I realized at some stage that I got a lot of value out of this, out of some of the podcasts that I've been listening to. So I am now a Patreon subscriber to some of those because I'm like, well, you know, if I'm buying books and therapy and whatever else, then yeah, podcasts are of value to me. Switching that around to this podcast and how you might potentially fit in, and I stress potentially, what I'm hearing from people about this material is that it is a lot like a book for some of you, and it's not just a small book at that. And I know for some of you, it's also a lot like therapy. There's a lot of stuff that's in this pan-political series in particular, which has got a lot of therapeutic value. And that does make sense to me. It's therapy for me as well. And it's also taken a lot of therapy, study, and inner work to get it out. So when I look at it that way, I feel good about asking for your support. Subscribing to Patreon is a very real way to participate here. It's an easy way to share with me that you have enjoyed the material. Yeah, it's an easy way to send a very strong signal to me about that. And it's also a very easy way to support this little project to continue and reach a wider audience in whatever form that winds up taking. So I will put a link to this in the show notes, as I will also for the live show, of course. You can also find your own way via patreon.com/curiousconversationsaboutsex. But yeah, probably easiest just to get the link from the show notes. When you go to Patreon, you'll find a couple of different levels or tiers. And in the fullness of time, I might offer, say, like bespoke Q&A evenings with people on certain tiers. I might offer more live recordings. I will absolutely offer you my thanks, as will other people. And yeah, we'll see how this goes. I'm kind of doing this because I'm hoping to avoid advertising on this podcast. But yeah, we'll see. One step at a time. Okay, topic number four is about process-oriented psychology. And a course that I'm running within that about sexuality for therapists. So first I want to tell you a little about, yeah, process-oriented psychology. That is where I get most of my training from. And honestly, a lot of the time when people appreciate the work or the facilitation or something that I offer, I feel like what they're actually complimenting is process-oriented psychology, even if they don't know it. This is circling around to me running a course with Process Work International in September, which I'll tell you about in just a second. But to give you some context, I'll tell you a little more about process work first. So I guess a good spot to start is that process work is called process work, or the word process refers to the idea that any given situation has a process that's wanting to be unfolded and followed. That sounds pretty easy at first glance, and maybe it even sounds a little bit twee. Probably most models of psychology would make a similar sort of a claim, and a lot of philosophical models. However, in practice, it can be rather complicated and sometimes wild territory. Just to give you a couple of examples on that, like, how do you follow your own process when you've got a body symptom that seems to be telling you to do something very different to what you had planned? How does a couple that's in a high conflict situation unfold the process that's trying to happen between them, whatever that might mean for the relationship? How does a group of people find what their process is if, let's say, different people within the group want to communicate differently or do different things or have different values? And then when you zoom all the way out to the level of, say, global issues and politics, how can we help the process that's trying to happen there and maybe not have so much polarization and conflict in the global arena? So I was drawn to process work because it's an extremely robust facilitation model, in my opinion. And that was sort of the hook. And I discovered that learning how to facilitate under that model involved a lot of self-development and a lot of psychology skills. So they're sort of the things that I wound up staying for while still pursuing facilitation skills. And yeah, these things are life-changing. In terms of self-development and knowledge of self, but they're also society-changing, by which I mean that a society that has a way to work positively with conflict and to work with diversity and to work with privilege, I mean, that is a very different and very special society. So the model itself of process work is very socially aware, or socially relevant, if you like, and it's very much about self-development and inner work. So, in short, it could be said that our usefulness as therapists or facilitators to clients and groups or the people around us is very directly related to our level of self-awareness and awareness of our blind spots and so forth. So the model itself is very much an awareness training. And I guess I'd just say that's not everyone's cup of tea. There are other models of psychology that don't dip so much into that territory. And I think, as we all know, growth and learning opportunities are in some ways sort of why we're here, but in other ways are really difficult, can be really difficult, really challenging things. So yeah, like I say, not everyone's cup of tea. With that said, so with that little bit of information about process work on the table, I'd like to tell you about a course that I'm running, and I would also like to tell you about a great introduction course, if that's something you're interested in. Just for transparency around this, before I go into this, I have no real vested interest in sharing about process work. I've sort of been wanting to share with you, as my audience, a potential entry point into process work for quite a while, and this is sort of providing a convenient opportunity. But aside from that interest, I don't have any direct or vested interest in sharing information about process work. I do have a financial interest in the course that I'll be running. And I'm also going to be suggesting to you an introductory course in process work if you're interested. And I have no interest in that other than I think it's potentially a good starting spot. So the course that I'm running is with Process Work International. And it's called Sexuality, Taboos, and Kink for Therapists. So just for those of you that have only arrived at this podcast recently, and you perhaps only know me through this podcast, most of my last 15 years has been in teaching relationships, sexuality, communication, and self-development. I've taught about 20,000 people directly, plus online things and this podcast and articles and interviews. So it's probably millions of people that I've reached with this work one way or another. And yeah, a lot of what I've done has been bringing in process work into the way those things are taught. So I'm sort of a sexuality slash psychology crossover kid. I am both well trained in these areas, but not formally trained in either of them, just to be transparent about that. And what I've observed in my time is that there's often a lack of sort of good therapeutic practice or trauma-informed practice within sexuality communities. And similarly, there can also be a lack of knowledge about sexuality within psychology communities. I've sort of been aware of a gap there that needs to be bridged. And I had anyway been leaning towards doing something in this area before it became necessary for me to close down Curious Creatures. So for me, this is a very timely and appropriate partnership. The course I'm running is pitched at therapists, so counsellors, psychotherapists, psychologists, therapists, anything like that. Anyone working in a therapeutic capacity with clients where you'd like to know more about sexuality and kink so that you can work more supportively with your clients. So to be clear, this is professional development with sort of personal development as a bit of a side serve on that. Might be a good way to describe it. I guess it will also suit folks with a general interest in good sex, communication, consent practices, but the material won't specifically be shaped around that. And I'm sort of pointing that out to make this distinct from workshops that I've run in the past that are specifically about how to exactly do that as a user. This is more pitched at therapists who are looking towards supporting their clients in these areas. It'll address a lot of things that I've observed that come up as challenges for therapists. So for instance, what's ethical in the way of the pursuit of sexuality and the taboos? And what is in your client's best interests and how do you pick that? How do you pick the difference between dangerous or negative practices versus positive and therapeutic practices when they look from an outsider's perspective incredibly similar some of the time? Like to answer the question around, is there any kind of baseline of normal? Like what's a normal and sensible level of interest in sexuality? How do you navigate when your idea of normal as a therapist or your level of knowledge is different to that of your clients? And how can you apply process-oriented psychology approaches to help your client's sexual interests, to help your client explore their sexual interests? So this is going to take the form of 3 2-hour weekly sessions starting on September the 9th. There'll be a free info session on August the 5th. And by way of prep work, so yeah, this is pitched at therapists, but more specifically at therapists that have been trained within the process-oriented psychology modality. I won't be getting too deep into the technical of those things, so it won't be super inaccessible. But at the same time, if you want to do my course and you haven't done any formal psychology training and you haven't done process work training in particular, then I would recommend you do some first. To that end, I've coordinated to line my course up after someone else's course, which is a fabulous introduction to process work, pitched at people that don't have any prior experience. That starts in just 2 weeks from the time that I plan to release this episode. And I have struck a deal with the organisers, meaning that if you want to do both my course and the introductory course, you can do that introductory course at half price. That's why I say again, I have no financial interest in that course. So yeah, if you have an interest in process work, regardless of whether or not you're planning on doing my course, this introductory course would be a really good starting point. So check the show notes for links to more information on both my course and the intro course. Okay, fifth and last topic for today is why I quit Curious Creatures. So, as you may be aware, Curious Creatures, its main activity was in running workshops and a few other things directly. And that effectively closed last year in 2024, after about 15 years in the field. So technically the business still exists, but it's doing none of the paid frontline training and services that it was doing before. So yeah, this is effectively a different business. I'm just keeping the business name to continue doing a couple of activities like this podcast and the consent cards. So I know that for many of you that were involved in the workshops, that change was confusing, unexpected, and saddening. It was for me too. And I had planned and sort of suggested that I was going to get back to you to tell the story on what happened there. It looks like there are legal reasons why I can't do that. So I'm just going to say thank you for your support over the years, and in some cases over the decades. It has been an absolutely wild ride, and for the most part, it's been extremely fulfilling, very positive, and something that I'm very proud of. So yeah, you have been a pleasure to work with, and I wish you well into the future. That's it for this little update on the podcast. Thanks for listening, gang. Look forward to catching up with you soon.